Joshua is the book that we've been looking through. And we know the story. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Joshua met this gentleman who was armed and had a sword, had a conversation with him, found out he was the commander of the Lord's army, and he gave Joshua directions. Guess what Joshua did? He listened. And he led the children of Israel to walk around Jericho, shouting, blowing the trumpet, shouting at the end, 13 times, I believe. 6 days, one time. The seventh day, seven times. And the Israelites won a great victory. Joshua listened. Then they fought against Ai. That was last week. There was a situation where there were not as many people in Ai as there were in Jericho, so the children of Israel thought they could handle it. Apparently, they did not seek direction from God. They sent just 2,000 or 3,000 people, and they suffered a great defeat. There was sin in the camp. Achan had taken some silver and gold and a Babylonian garment. But there was also a scenario where the children of Israel were too confident in themselves, and they didn't listen to what God had to say. Well, they did listen in chapter 8. And again, Ai was defeated. They had a victory. Chapter 9. You would think they would have learned their lesson and listened. But the children of Israel, Joshua, sort of like we are. Sometimes we're slow to learn. You know the story. I'm not going to read the whole story. But the Gibeonites, they had heard about Israel. They had heard that God had told Moses, go into the land of Canaan, conquer all the people, kill all the people and so on. And they didn't want to be killed. Makes sense. And so what they did is they turned to deception. They had some ambassadors that they sent to Israel. They clothed them in old clothes, old sandals. And they had old water jugs or wine skins or whatever. They had old moldy provisions. And they went to the children of Israel and said, we want to make a treaty with you. The children of Israel said, you might be neighbors. And they said, no, we came from a long way away. And then what happened is they made the treaty. Within 2 or 3 days, they found out they had been tricked. But Joshua 9:14 is the verse we're looking at this morning. It says this, then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Let me read it again. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. What the men of Israel did is they engaged in common sense thinking. Common sense was, if the provisions were old, they must have come from afar. But instead of just thinking, they should have checked with the Lord. They should have come before God in prayer and depended on Him to give direction. They should have asked the question, what does God have to say about this? And then they should have followed God's directions. Are we any different as individuals, as families, as a church? Can we just engage in common sense or rational thinking and come up with decisions and things we want to do, things we think are best, rather than seeking to spend time in prayer and spend time in God's word and try to understand what God wants us to do? I've entitled the name of this sermon, Catawba's Focus, because we as a church need to focus on what God wants us to. We as a church need to make sure that we're giving attention to God's directions. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about some things God might want us to do here at Catawba Baptist Church. But today we're going to talk in general. It's going to be repetition for some of us, for probably all of us. But repetition is good. The Bible has a lot of repetition in it. We need to focus on those things which are most important. There are three things that we briefly mentioned last week, but we're going to focus on today. Number one is the Great Commandment. Isn't it true that God has given us direction through Jesus Christ and through the Old Testament as well? God has told us that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. How many of you know that already? How many of you are doing it on a regular basis? That's the challenge. Because sometimes we get so caught up with what we're doing that we don't focus on what we need to focus on: loving God, loving one another. We need to make love a priority. Now, all of us would agree with that. All of us would agree that we need to make love a priority, love for God and love for one another. The challenge is doing it. There's a vertical aspect of it and a horizontal aspect. The vertical is up and down. That's love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Let me ask you a question. If you love God, will you worship Him? Yes. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. That should be on our lips. We should be praising Him on a regular basis. Why? Because we love Him. If we love Him, we'll also obey Him. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. So as we think about the Great Commandment and loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, the question is, are we worshiping Him on a regular basis, not just Sunday morning at 10:30? And are we obeying Him on a regular basis? If we love Him, that's exactly what we'll do. How about loving one another? That's the horizontal relationship. That's the focus of God's word. Even the Ten Commandments. Basically, if you love God and love your neighbor, you will follow the Ten Commandments. The problem is that we don't always love God or love our neighbor like we should. But if we love one another, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. How many of you feel your conscience is bothering you a little bit right now? Because all of us mess up when it comes to loving one another. The good news is this. When we sin, when we mess up, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that does not mean that we just keep on sinning and depend on God to forgive us. I mean, we're all going to mess up on occasion. But should we not become more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we spend more time with Him, as we depend on Him? We should love more and more and sin less and less. Keeping the Great Commandment is a challenge. Loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves, it's not easy. That's why it's God working in us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The Great Commandment. We need to make love a priority. Let's move on to number two. Number two is the Great Commission. You've heard of that as well. Probably the most famous rendition is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, this is the last thing He said before He ascended to heaven. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we've talked before about the fact that make disciples is an imperative. It's a command. We are told that we need to go and make disciples. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone who studies what the teacher's teaching and tries to follow the teacher's example. And all of us need to be studying what Jesus is teaching and following his example. How do we do that? Number one, by going. That's evangelism. We should be evangelizing on a regular basis. You know, there's a verse that says, James 4:17, if any man knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is what? Sin. If we know we ought to be doing something and we do not do it, we're sinning. We need to confess our sin. And I believe in the church in America today, one of our sins is that we are not engaged in going. We're not engaged in evangelism. Now, we're good at making excuses. We're good at making excuses like, well, if I tell people about Jesus, they're going to think I'm a fanatic. Once eternity comes along and you've told them about Jesus and they said yes, they're going to be grateful that you were a fanatic, or at least that you were bold enough to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Do you believe what God's word says? That if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. If we do not believe in Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on us. Check out John chapter 3. It talks about the love of God and the fact that we have everlasting life through faith in Christ, but it talks about the fact that those of us who don't are destined to spend eternity apart from God in a place called hell. If we really believe that and we love the people around us, then we're going to try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come up with another excuse. I'm not sure what to say. The interesting thing is that the vast majority of us, things that we're really interested in, we will learn. We will study until we know it. Al Odom, Al, raise your hand. He's the president of Fishers of Men. And he not only knows about fishing for men, telling people about Jesus Christ, but he knows about fishing for fish. I know because every once in a while I'll see a picture of him on Facebook with holding up a real big fish. Have you done a little studying on fishing? Have you done a lot of studying on fishing? Now me, I don't know much about fishing for fish. It's been a long time since I've gone. I'm on the board of Fishers of Men and I've focused on the men part of it more than the fishing part of it down through the years. But I haven't studied that very much. Fishing for fish is not a passion of mine. Reaching people for Jesus Christ is. But let me ask you this question. Should fishing for men be a passion for us? We might not feel gifted, and there are some who have the gift of evangelism, and they could talk, and people get saved like that. Whereas some of us, we talk and talk and talk, and finally, the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th person we talk to trusts Christ as Savior. Did you know, I read this many years ago, that you talk to an average of 6 people before one trusts Christ as Savior? If we stop at number 5, then there's a good possibility that somebody's going to hell instead of going to heaven because we were not faithful to share. We need to go. I think we'd all agree with that theoretically. We could come up with excuses. We don't know what to say, or they might ask a hard question. But the reality is, if it's a passion for us, if it's important to us, then we'll make disciples by going, number one. Number two, by baptizing. Baptism is an opportunity that people have to indicate, hey, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I have been baptized, going under the water and coming out of the water, indicating that Jesus died for me, he was buried, he rose again. I want to die to sin and self and walk in newness of life. In other words, we're basically saying, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord, I want to live for you. But there's another element to that as well. And that element is that, generally speaking, when you're baptized at a church. and you're communicating, you're testifying to the church that you are now saved. In other words, not only is it a matter of going and leading people to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but hopefully it's a matter of helping them to become part of a church. Now, if you go to Wyoming and you lead somebody to Jesus, in all probability, they're not going to be baptized here at Catawba Baptist Church, but need to encourage them to be a part of a church, because the Christian experience is an experience of a body, according to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're a Lone Ranger Christian, in other words, if you worship in nature and you don't go to a church, so to speak, you don't have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, then you're not having the real experience. You're not having the experience you should. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, it talks about the fact that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but instead we need to gather together and encourage one another, exhort one another, especially as we think about Jesus Christ coming back. Everybody in this building is in church. You probably know the priority of being in church. But there are many that don't have that connection with church. Now, it's true. If you just come on Sunday morning, you walk in, maybe greeted by the ushers or greeters and one or two other people who sit down and leave, you're not going to have too significant of a connection with one another. Wouldn't you agree with that? When you're involved in a small group, when you spend time together with other Christians and you pray together and you study God's word together, you do life together, so to speak, then you have that connection. And I believe that baptism is not just an individual recognition that Jesus died for me, was buried, rose again, and I've trusted him as Savior, but instead, it's a matter of us becoming connected with the body of Christ. So we're looking at going, telling people about Christ, baptizing, getting people connected to the body of Christ as they communicate that Jesus is Savior and Lord. And then finally, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you. Discipleship, making disciples, involves going, baptizing, connecting people with the church, and teaching them what God's word says. So I guess we need to ask ourselves the question, as individuals and as a church, what kind of a job are we doing in regard to making disciples? Are we sharing the gospel? Are they coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior, confessing that Jesus is their Savior and Lord, and becoming part of a church, and then learning God's word? Don't you agree that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works? So we need to make sure that we're teaching them to observe all things. We make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching. Now, probably all of us have heard of the Great Commandment, and probably all of us have heard of the Great Commission, but a lot of people hadn't heard of the Great Challenge, and that's mainly because I think I made up that term. In fact, when I did my doctoral dissertation, one of the things that the person that examined me asked was this: is that something that you came up with, or is that something you learned from somebody else? Now, somebody else might have said it before, but I don't know of anybody else who has communicated that. If I'd learned it from somebody else, then I would have needed to put a footnote in my 192-page book that I wrote. The interesting thing is this, though. It is a great challenge to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Now, John chapter 20 and verse number 21 says this: Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you." As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now, what did the Father send him to do? This is found in Matthew 20, 28. "Just as the Son of Man," Jesus, a lot of times when talking about himself, called himself the Son of Man, "just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Why did Jesus come? The Father sent him. Why did he come? not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. For some of us, it's a great challenge to serve. We want to be served. We live in a society where people want to be served. People want to be taken care of. It's called an entitlement mentality. We want people to give to us. But God's word makes it clear that we're not going to really be happy unless we give to others. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. People are wondering why they're miserable. It's because they're not giving. They're not serving. We need to have a servant mentality like Jesus did. Remember John chapter 13 when the disciples gathered together for the Last Supper. There was not a servant there to wash the dirty feet of the disciples. Remember, they wore sandals. They did not walk on paved roads. They walked on dirt roads, sandy roads. And their feet got dirty. So the norm was for when they went into a dinner, a servant would wash their feet. What did Jesus do? He washed their feet. And then he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, because that's what I am. If I'm your Lord and Master, then you need to do what I've done." I don't believe that that means that we need to have consistent foot washing services. Now, it's fine if churches want to do that. But the disciples had a need. They had dirty feet, and Jesus met that need. Do people around you have needs? Might not be dirty feet, might be dirty feet, I don't know. But I know there are a lot of other needs, whether it's physical needs or relational needs or spiritual needs or whatever the needs might be. What's our responsibility? To seek to serve. Just like Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many, we need to be willing to serve. We need to have the attitude of Jesus Christ, who said to his disciples that they needed to do what? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. In the ordination talk that was given this morning by Michael Owens with Joe McIsaac's ordination, basically Michael Owens talked about several things. Two of the things he talked about were surrender and sacrifice. Well, if we come after him, we need to deny ourselves. That's selflessness. Take up our cross, that's sacrifice, and follow him, that's surrender. In other words, we need to be serious about living the Christian life. If we claim to be Christians, if we claim to be abiding in Christ, we ought to walk as he walked. And how did he walk? He was a servant. He wasn't trying to be served, but instead, he was serving. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. In other words, we've all received gifts. We need to be using them. We need to be serving according to God's grace. Might be speaking, might be serving, but we need to make sure we're doing it. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you know that God is glorified when we serve? And yet sometimes we are so slow to serve and so quick to want to be served. The great challenge is equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians chapter 4. But that's what we need to be doing. And we as his people need to be doing the work of the ministry. Now, I know that this is a lot of redundancy. These are things you've heard before. The problem is sometimes the things we've heard before and that we know, we don't give attention to. But we need to be focused on these three things. What are they? Number one, the great commandment. Number two, the great commission. Number three, the great challenge of equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. The great commandment, do we love God, therefore worship him, obey him? Do we love one another, thinking of others as more important than we are? Great commission, are we making disciples by going, by baptizing, making sure that they become a part of a church, and then teaching them to observe all things, whatever he has commanded us? And are we serving like Jesus served? Are we involved in the great challenge of making a difference for Jesus Christ through the way that we live and through what we do? As individuals, as families, as a church, we need to make sure that our focus is on the great commandment, the great commission, the great challenge. We need to make sure that we are doing what we do on the basis of these three important truths. Like I said, next week I hope to talk a little bit more in regard to some details that are coming up that will help us as a church to perhaps do a better job of fulfilling the great commandment, the great commission, the great challenge. But first of all, we need to remember that it's easy to be like Joshua and the children of Israel and not learn our lessons. God gave directions, they were victorious. They didn't listen to God. And a small town, Ai, took them to the woodshed, so to speak. They listened to God and they won over Ai. The Gibeonites came, and do you remember what they said or what they did? Joshua 9:14, the men of Israel took some of the provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Don't we need to ask counsel of the Lord? Spend time in prayer, spend time in his word. I encourage you during the course of this week to spend time in prayer and spend time in his word. I encourage you to pray for me and the leadership here at Catawba Baptist Church as we ask ourselves the question, how can we as a church best fulfill in Rock Hill, South Carolina, the great commandment, the great commission, and the great challenge of making an impact for Jesus Christ as we serve? Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word. Sometimes it is very challenging, and we recognize that we have fallen short. When such is the case, Lord, help us to confess our sins, because you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we recognize that we as individuals, we as a church, so often have not focused on those things which are most important. I pray that you'll give us wisdom and courage and strength, the wisdom to know what to do, the courage to choose to do it, and the strength to execute. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll work in our lives and in our church in such a way that we become more and more effective in fulfilling the great commandment, the great commission, the great challenge, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.